Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Patriots for Monday, June 18th, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair. Hope all the fathers out there had a wonderful Father's Day, Father's Day weekend. I did as well. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work over at InsideThePylon.com. Got a new piece up today on Michigan State quarterback Brian Lewerke and process over results. Studying quarterbacks, quarterback evaluation, and looking at how the quarterback gets to the end result in the play and how that matters more than the end result itself. Again, you can check that out over at InsideThePylon.com. You can also check out the work I've done over for Pro Football Weekly, video work, YouTube.com/InsideThePylon. Full show today for you. We're going to talk next steps, final steps, closeout steps in football and film. We're going to talk about Tom Brady and his sit-down with Oprah Winfrey. But first, storylines has taken us to the AFC East. And we're going to do this a little bit differently with the AFC East. You know, when we talked about the other divisions, we kind of went through it quickly. You know, we went through division by division, talking about one storyline, spending a minute or two on each team. But since we're now back in the AFC East, since we're talking division rivals and teams that the Patriots will play twice a season, we're going to break this down now, one AFC East team per show. We're going to start with the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of turnover at a number of different positions throughout the AFC East, but perhaps no more than at quarterback, especially with the Buffalo Bills. They bring in A.J. McCarron. They have Nathan Peterman, of course, and then they draft Josh Allen in the first round of the draft. And the biggest sort of question mark in my mind facing the Buffalo Bills is how long until Josh Allen sees the field. Now, what's interesting in this offseason, there are a lot of experts, prognosticators, Evan Silva, Mike Clay, who have basically taken a look at this Bills roster and said, cupboard's empty, my friends. It's going to be a couple of years before this team is going to get back to competitive. And when you kind of take a step back and look at this roster, you can see their point. Whoever plays quarterback, who are they going to throw to? Zay Jones, Kelvin Benjamin, Charles Clay? There aren't a ton of offensive weapons at the skill positions other than LeSean McCoy. I mean, I think we can all sort of take a look at LeSean McCoy and say he's an extremely talented running back, obviously one of the better running backs in the game. But beyond him, and then look at the offensive line, questions all up and down this offensive line. You know, Deion Dawkins, John Miller, Russell Bodine, Vladimir Dukasi, Jordan Mills. Those are the guys as of right now slated to be your week one starters at the offensive line. And now, I know I'm not an offensive lineman guru, but I recognize like two of those names. Now, they did draft Wyatt Teller, who was a guard that a lot of people did like in the fifth round out of Virginia Tech, so they might work him into the lineup. But there are some questions on the offensive side of the ball. I think if you look defensively, this is still a good defense. And I said it on the radio at WGR after the Bills selected Josh Allen, you know, late night, early morning after the opening round of the draft. And I said, look, Buffalo's roadmap is the Jacksonville roadmap. We're going to win with defense. We're going to win with run of the ball. And we're going to limit what our quarterback, whoever that person is, has to do for this team. And if you look at this defense, up front, Jerry Jones, Kyle Williams, Star Latouille, Shaq Lawson. That's a pretty good front four. Linebackers, Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander, your outside backers. They're basically a 4-3 base team. But they add Tremaine Edmonds, very young, talented guy to plug and play week one at the middle linebacker spot. Secondary does have some interesting pieces. Tre'Davious White was a much better rookie than a lot of people expected. Vontae Davis, a question mark there. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, some serviceable NFL safeties. And so this is their roadmap. They're going to win on the defensive side of the ball. I think Tre'Davious White, Tremaine Edmonds, they drafted Harrison Phillips, Shaq Lawson. You know, those are some nice, young, athletic defenders to build around. So that's going to be their roadmap, limiting what the quarterback has to do, which brings us back to the main storyline. Who is that quarterback going to be? Is it A.J. McCarron? Is it Nathan Peterman? Is it Josh Allen? You know, and from talking to people in and around Buffalo, Nate Geary, who's been on this show before over at WGR, where he's one of the hosts. He basically says his thought right now, and a lot of the word coming out of Buffalo, is it's going to be Peterman until they feel comfortable with Allen. Now, whether that's one game, 7 games, 10 games, remains to be seen. My thoughts on Allen are well documented. He is talented. You can't deny the talent. You can't deny the things that he can do with the football in terms of throwing it through brick walls. But it's all the other attendant stuff that comes with playing the position that Josh Allen needs to work on. And some of the reviews out of minicamp and OTAs have been very positive. And it does sound like Allen's starting to put it together. And we started to see him slowly sort of put things together as he went through the combine and his pro day workout. The mechanics seemed a little bit cleaner, a little bit tighter, a little bit crisper. Does seem to be at least developing some touch, which has always been one of my concerns on him. You know, Allen has basically approached the quarterback position like, you know, every problem is a nail and he's got a hammer. You know, every problem on the football field needs the fastball. That's the way he's approached it, but you can't play it that way. And if it were me, I'm comfortable with him seeing start in action in November. If it gets to be October, if it gets to be late September and he's getting starts, then I'm a little bit worried. Now, if they do go that route, I hope that they handle it in a much better way than we've seen with recent quarterbacks. I go back one season to Hugh Jackson, to Sean Kizer. I've ranted about this decision before on the show, but pulling DeShone Kizer out of a one-score game, a field goal game at halftime. Yeah, I know he had just thrown an interception in the end zone. It was a poor read, a poor decision, a poor throw. But you got to give the guy a chance. That's a way to ruin a quarterback. And what happened? Kizer gets run out of town. And now they try all over again with Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor, formerly of the Buffalo Bills. And so that's the big question in Buffalo. How soon does Josh Allen see the field? My over-under on starts for Josh Allen, I know it's different. Bovada has a much bigger number. I'm much more comfortable seeing him start, say, 6 games. That's kind of what I'd like to see. You know, let him take over that sort of November time frame. I think that's really the sort of best course of action. If he starts sooner than that, I hope they handle him the right way. If he makes mistakes, get him out of there before he gets really in deep into quicksand. But if he's in a one-score game, leave him in there. Show him that, look, we do believe in you. But if things start to get out of hand, that's when we'll get you off the field. That's, again, it's all about helping your guy, which, as listeners to this show know, I'm all about helping Tom Brady, helping Josh Allen, helping the listeners to the Locked On Patriots podcast, which brings me, folks, to our great friends over at BlueChew.com. Because here's the thing. I like talking about how we can help our quarterbacks on the field, but I also want to help you where it matters the most, and that's in the bedroom. With BlueChew.com, you could increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And get this, since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor's visit, there's no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, there's no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the United States, and since Blue Chew ships and prepares direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, they've got a special deal for Locked On Patriots listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. That's right, free, when you use our special promo code Locked On. You just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. So what are you waiting for? Help yourself here. This is all about helping you. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring the show. Again, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. Up ahead, we're going to talk about Tom Brady and his recent sit-down with Oprah Winfrey. Some nuggets from that interview. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you on this Monday edition of Locked On Patriots, helping you get your week started the right way. Hope I can do that. To those of you out there who are on the commute, I can tell you, and this is part of the reason why I love doing this show. Back when I was living that 9 to 5, 9 to 10, 9 to 6, whatever crazy hours I was working at the time, when I was living that grind, I needed that something to listen to in the morning. Sometimes something mindless, just to get me through that train ride up to the office door and back. So if that's all I can do for you is to be that mindless drivel in your ears to help you get through those last few minutes of the weekends, those last few moments when you open. Here we go. If that's all I can do, happy to do it. But here we are again for a Monday show. I hope you all had a great weekend. We're going to talk now Tom Brady. Tom Brady sitting down with Oprah Winfrey for a Father's Day edition of Oprah's show, Super Soul Sunday. And some interesting tidbits came out during this interview. One of which was, of course, Oprah asked Tom Brady about the anthem, the kneeling, the quote-unquote flag protest. I'm putting that in quotes because, again, that undersells what this was really all about. And Brady came out on the side of his teammates and those that chose to take a knee and wanted to take a knee, and talked about how the comments from President Trump in the wake of that were rather divisive, which is sure to raise some eyebrows given, you know, the close relationship between Tom Brady and President Trump. They've been friends before in the past. Tom has described him as a friend. So those were some interesting comments, and some comments that were parts of Father's Day weekend mealtime discussions, I'll just say, in my family. Some other interesting comments which came out. How Brady is becoming, I don't want to say okay with losing, because that is clearly misstating it. But the losses are a little bit easier for him to take. He told Oprah that what they lost to the Giants in Super Bowl 42, he said it felt like a month for him to feel like himself again, to feel like Tom Brady again. But he said this year it's been different. It was a little bit different this year. He said he was a little bit depressed about the outcome, but it was nothing compared to that. Nothing compared to Super Bowl 42. He said it took him about 2 to 3 weeks to get over the defeat to the Eagles. So that's different. And part of what he points to is, while the losses have gotten easier to manage, the winning is much more enjoyable. He gets spoiled, as he says, at the start of his career. They won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. It just happened so early in his career, he couldn't even believe it. But that gap, that decade or so where they didn't win anything, has allowed him to really enjoy the next one. You know, for example, that Seattle win or the Atlanta one. So that was something extremely interesting from Tom Brady's sit down with Oprah Winfrey. And finally, the other real interesting tidbit from this entire interview was the R word. Retirement. Brady now acknowledged that the end is in sight, which is a little bit of a change, frankly, than where we've been, you know, over the past couple of years. I mean, Brady used to say, look, I'll play into my 30s, I'll play into my 40s, I'll play into my 50s, I'll just keep going. But now it's changed. I think about it more now than I used to, Brady said. I think now I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later. He didn't say approximately how many years he thinks he has left, but you do, again, in some of what he says in this interview, see that there is sort of an end date coming. To quote again from Brady, as long as I'm loving the training and the preparation, I'm willing to make the commitment. But I think what I alluded to a lot in the docuseries is that there are other things happening in my life too. I do have kids that I love, and I don't want to be a dad that's not there driving my kids to their games. My kids have brought a great perspective to my life. Kids just want the attention. You better be there and be available to them. He sort of concluded this whole thing with, I still feel like there's more to be accomplished. I still feel like I'm in it. I still feel like I'm doing it. I feel like I can be better. I still think I want to go out there and compete and play with a bunch of 22-year-olds. But the fact that he's now more open about the retirement does make you think that the end might be coming. And we've known this for a while now, which can bring us, if we want, to the idea of the replacement. But we're not going to go down that road right now. So that's it. Check out the interview for yourself. You can read about it all over the place as well. But Tom Brady sitting down with Oprah Winfrey, definitely something to keep your eyes on. Up next, I'm going to spend a final few minutes with you on football and film, because that's right, I've done my part. Now it's up to you guys. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, in Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Monday edition of Locked On Patriots, and we're going to close it out here as I hand the baton over to you. Now, that phrase does have a little bit of nostalgia for this old track guy. That's right, I was the anchor leg of the 4x4 in high school. And I hope you saw this recently. There was a recent video floating around of the women's NCAA 4x400 and the runner for USC. USC needs to win this to win the overall championship. Otherwise, Georgia wins. The only way USC wins the championship is if they win the 4x4. And the anchor leg, she gets the baton, she's down like half a lap, and somehow chases down the lead runner from out of nowhere. Just an incredible, incredible run. Remind me of something I did in the Greater Boston League back my junior year in high school in the indoor GBL championship as the anchor leg of the 4x4. But anyway, getting far ahead of ourselves here. But my job in football and film is done. I've done shows on a number, over 20 football movies. There's a post up on LockedOnPatriots.com that you can go. You can check it out, LockedOnPatriots.com, titled Football and Film, where I get a link to each of the episodes. May 7th, the Varsity Blues. May 8th, the program. May 9th, the Best of Times. May 10th, Any Given Sunday. May 14th, The Replacements. May 15th, Jerry Maguire. May 16th, Rudy. May 17th, Remember the Titans. May 21st, and my dark horse for the overall champion here, Undefeated. May 22nd, The Waterboy. May 23rd, Friday Night Lights. May 24th, Newt Rockne, All-American. May 28th, Invincible. May 29th, The Longest Yard, 1971 version. May 31st, All the Right Moves. June 4th, Everybody's All-American. June 5th, Wildcats. June 6th, Brian Song. June 11th, North Dallas 40. June 12th, The Blind Side. June 13th, We Are Marshall. And June 14th, we ended it with MASH. Shout out to my boy Tim Murphy. So now it's in your hands. I've created a survey that you can fill out. There's a link to it over at LockedOnPatriots.com. It takes you to a survey over at SurveyMonkey. It allows you to rank those choices. I've also put in an other. If there's another movie that I didn't talk about, use that to rank it. Let me know on Twitter or via Twitter/email, however you want to do it, what that movie is. I'm going to leave this open for a while, and it will be up to you guys to sort of rank these. Now, I know I probably missed a movie or two. Again, let me know using that other. Hit me up on Twitter. I think I've covered them all. I think I've got all the bases covered. Some of you might quibble. You might say, ooh, the new Longest Yard should be in there. Maybe. Little Giants was also one that I thought about, but I didn't include it. Maybe I should have. Maybe I'll get some demerit points for that. But those are the movies. You can go Locked On Patriots, get caught up. If you missed any of these, they're all handy right there for you. And that will take you over to the SurveyMonkey link as well, which I'll tweet out around a couple of times too. But now it's on your hands. Rank those movies. That will do it for today's show. I will be back tomorrow. We will talk some Jets storylines, probably either do some timeline takes, and then we're going to start a new series because that's what we do in the summertime. We fill air. That's what we do. We're going to start looking back at some Patriots drafts, sort of grading Patriots drafts, seeing what we might have done differently. That's ahead. Tomorrow with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.